Good evening from Gustavus City Hall. It's 7 p.m. and I'd like to call to order the June 13, 2022 City Council General Meeting. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Here.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Here.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Furr?
Here.
And Councilmember Sharman is not present tonight, so we have six council members present and a quorum exists.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We'll begin with our vision statement, reminding us what we're all here to accomplish and what our, it's sort of beginning with the end in mind, we might say. Councilmember Makowiak is on tap for reading our vision statement tonight. Councilmember Makowiak.
We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety and promotes personal development and initiative, where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decisions affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, in which people can retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively, and work together to accomplish community goals while preserving community traditions.
Thank you very much. The next item is approval of the minutes of the May 9, 2022 general meeting minutes and the minutes of the May 25, 2022 special meeting. I believe Council Member Tanya Lewis has a motion for us.
I move to approve by unanimous consent the 5-9-2022 general meeting minutes and the 5-25-2022 special meeting minutes.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the May 9, 2022 general meeting minutes and the May 25, 2022 special meeting minutes. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, do any council members wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, are there any objections to approving the minutes by unanimous consent? Okay, hearing none, the motion is passed. The minutes are approved by unanimous consent. The next item is mayor's request for agenda changes. I have no request to reorder anything in the agenda. Do any council members have any wish for any reordering or changes to the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda is set. We'll move on to committee reports and staff reports. The first is from the Gustavus Public Library, our quarterly report. And I believe we have Leanne on tap for that.
Actually, this is Jesse, and I'm going to give that report.
Jesse, thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jesse.
Thank you, Mayor. No problem. I will be quick with this. The first thing, I'm going to highlight a few things from the report. The first thing I wanted to point out is actually on the first page under the general statistics, we added a new line there for digital materials checked out. We have Alaska Digital Library available to patrons. So if you have a library card, you can check books out through Alaska Digital Library, ebooks, audiobooks, even magazines.
Did we lose you, Jesse?
And they have, sorry, are you able to hear me?
We can now, thank you.
Okay. As I was saying, I was checking on the statistics and they've increased almost double from this time last year. And so people are really using that service. The next thing really quickly I'll talk about is summer reading. It kicked off on June 4th, and the theme this year is to read Beyond the Beaten Path. It's available for all ages, and you can stop by the library to get a reading log and a bingo board to participate. The next thing I'll move on to would be our grant section, which I think is maybe the third page of our report. In April, the library was awarded, actually be the fourth page of our report, fifth page maybe. anyways, our library was awarded the Alaska Community Foundation's grant, and that was for $10,000, and it's to enable us to host literacy camps, we will be working on planning those and getting those up and running soon. And they can happen during the summer, during the school year. And the idea is to promote literacy. And we'll focus on e-STEAM, environment, science, technology, engineering, art, and math, and outdoor education. Move on next to a project that we have in the works we're super excited about. You can see the picture there on the screen of Dean Weichel holding a story walk board. We were awarded a grant in November, and part of the grant was to build a story walk, which is a trail with posts and a podium-like top where picture books would be displayed page by page, and people would walk from each post and read a story a page at a time as they're walking along a trail. And this trail will start at the library, kind of wind through the woods behind the library and the school, and then end at the school. And so we are getting prepped for a June 30th library build day. And we will have materials ready for people to come, people of all ages, to help put these story walk boards together and help to install them on the trail behind the library and the school. Another piece of this library build day on June 30th will be to help us set up our hammock forest. And I think there is a picture on the next page that shows an example of a hammock forest. And we will have four hammocks strung between posts that will be set up kind of off the edge of the mode part at the main entrance to the library there. So if anybody is interested, we will be looking for volunteers to join us on the 30th of June to help to complete these two projects. And we are super grateful to the help of Dean Weichel and Gary Ogden and Lewis Sharman for helping to get the materials and things ready to go for that library build day on June 30th. And I think that's about it. Those are the highlights. There's certainly lots more in the report and lots more happening at the library. I would be happy to answer any questions if anyone has any.
Thank you, Jesse. Do any council members have any questions for Jesse on the library report? Not seeing any hands coming up, but I'll say the summer reading kickoff was great fun. The s'mores were great, and everybody had a wonderful time out in the sunshine and around the fire. It was really a nice event, and I'd really like to see more great things like that going on at the library. There are so many wonderful things at our library, and we can be very proud of it. I think the story trail is going to be great, and the hammock should be nice. One time I put a hammock up, though, the squirrels ate it. So we'll see how it works. So I guess okay, no more questions for our librarians. Thank you very much. And keep up the great work at the library. I'm really proud of our library. The next is our treasurer with our monthly financial report. I'll note that with a little more than two weeks left in our fiscal year, we're now at 95.3% of the way through the fiscal year, and we have a strong financial report. Madam Treasurer?
Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
I'm not hearing you. Do you have any comments on, we're not hearing you over the mic.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes, now so we can.
I would like to point out two things. One is on our federal revenue that we received already, our national first receipt. We budgeted for $35,000 and we received $47,599.28. Also, I would like to point out that our tax income, that we surpassed our budget on $62,345.86. I'm still receiving taxes from June, and it looks pretty good. And that's about what I had to say. The DRC also, the DRC income, we surpassed our budget. We had $86,000, and we surpassed on $7,602. So more than it was budgeted. This, of course, I'm talking about our actuals versus our budget, if anybody has any doubts about what I'm talking about. And pretty much that's what I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Madam Treasurer. Do any council members have a question for our treasurer on her report? Hey, I'm not seeing any hands come up. I had her print the actual profit and loss as of today, and it's showing a surplus at the end of the bottom line of almost $425,000 in surplus this year. So we have done a very capable job, a very responsible job of managing our budget this year, and we're going to have a nice, strong surplus to carry over for use in future years and for capital projects. So I thank our administrative staff for doing a good job in guiding us through, you know, financially through this fiscal year. Okay. So thank you again, Madam Treasurer. The next is our city administrator's general meeting report. Madam City Administrator, Kathy.
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me? You can? Okay. So you have before you a detailed report. I'll go over some of the highlights. Since I've been onboarded, I've met with the mayor for a general review. looked at a lot of our ongoing and current road projects. I've been meeting regularly with Tom, as well as the mayor, to go over the budget, to go over procedures and policy. We opened the bid for the Tong Road project. Tom explained expectations for reporting to the council. We reviewed particular pertinent issues from Tom's inbox folders. Met with Phoebe to review several items, including the CIP list and the process for the development. She's trained me on a lot of the financial reports and the AMWIP accounts. We had my first staff meeting with all of our staff and set a time for regular staff meetings going forward. I attended the summer reading program kickoff, which was a bunch of fun and great to see everybody and old faces and new ones. We trained with Karen to learn the process for having folks be able to cast their ballots here at City Hall. And let's see, I missed my second page. Sorry. I've been getting trained on the FEMA accounts process through their grants portal, which is convoluted to say the least. Had a tutorial with some of their folks with the folks at the state. Been working, got a lack of phone service complaint asking, you know, the city to step in. And as we all know, and as I know for years, this has been a problem. So, you know, I've talked with the man who is the community outreach manager for the governor for all the municipalities, and he has put me in touch with the two external affairs directors of both GCI and AT&T, and I've been talking to them and people who are more knowledgeable than I about the intricacies of the issues. I'd like to thank Whitney for putting together an overview to provide to the techs at both these companies. And so I've talked to both of these folks and trying to see what we can do to improve this service, but it's a complicated issue, but it's something we're trying to pay attention to at the city level. Attended the first city work session and presented what I've been doing in my first few days. Talked to Tom regularly and Phoebe about clarification of issues that I need to understand more in depth. And basically have been trying to absorb it all in the last week and a half or so. So, and I'll have lots more to absorb. So anyway, that's my report for now. And there are more details and you can call me anytime if you have any questions.
Thank you. Do any council members have any questions for our city administrator on her report? No, I'll say it's certainly, let me say again, it's great to have you on board. Kathy's really diving into the work and making a lot of progress on stuff for us and quickly getting up to speed. So I'm really pleased that we have you added to our team, Kathy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any other questions then. So that finishes our staff reports. The next item is public comment on non-agenda items. And this period is for non-agenda items only, so it's not intended for discussion. If you would like to make public comment on a non-agenda item at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have the option to unmute your phone, the clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it is your turn to speak. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please do not use profanity and be respectful in your comments. You will have one opportunity to comment here and again during public comment before the end of the meeting. Comments should be kept brief. We'll ask you to keep it to 2 minutes, please. Do any members of the public have comment on a non-agenda item at this time? Oh, okay. Leslie Sirstad has a comment. And she'll use the microphone. Push the button.
That's it? Okay. I'm Leslie Sirstad. Just real quick, I wanted to make note that not all microphones treat all people well, okay? And I want to encourage people to come on out in person. Now, your council has done very well, and they're trying to be here as many as possible. I know there's not a lot of room, but it is easier to understand listening to people, and it's also easier to see people and see your personalities. Okay, so I do encourage people to come on out to meetings. Support your council.
Thank you, Leslie. Do any council members have a question for Leslie? Okay, seeing none. Thank you again, Leslie. And it's always a great pleasure to have you here in the meetings with us. And I hope others will come with your urging. Thank you. Okay, any other members of the public with a comment on a non-agenda item? I don't see any hands up online. Okay, we'll proceed on then to the next item, but there's another opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items at the end of the meeting. So the next item is our consent agenda, on which we have two items: our monthly certificate of records destruction, the work of our clerk to continually keep our records up to date and in line with our record retention policy. It's a matter of good business practice here at the city, and I appreciate our clerk's work very much in doing such a diligent job with this. It can be very tedious, to be sure. So there's that certificate, which is in the packet, and I think you all know the drill on that one. And the other one is a scoping document for the pedestrian bicycle side path system that Councilmember Moskowiak has developed. We talked about that in our work session and decided at that time to put it on the consent agenda. Do any members of the public wish to have either of these items removed from the consent agenda and put into new business? Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to move either of these items to from the consent agenda to new business? Okay, I believe we have a motion to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent from Council Member Furr.
I motion to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent. Is there any objection to adopting the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, the consent agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. That moves us on to ordinance for public hearing. And the first ordinance is FY22-14 NCO, the FY23 budget. And we introduced this budget in the last meeting, May 9, 2022. And it's actually been out in various forms for the public to review for as we've developed it over the last several months. So now's the time for us to do a final adoption of the budget. And so I would like to open, let's see, it is now 7:25 p.m. and would like to open the floor for public testimony on this NCO. Do any members of the public have testimony to offer on our budget adoption? I'm seeing no hands rising. Guess we don't have any further comment on the budget. So at 7:25, I'll close the public hearing for the budget adoption. And we, let's see, I believe we have a motion from Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop to approve this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we approve item FY22-14 NCO FY23 budget as introduced May 9th, 2022.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. It's been moved. Thank you, Councilmember Muscoviac. It's been moved and seconded to approve FY22-14 NCO, the FY23 budget as introduced 5-9-2022. Do any members of the council have any discussion or comments on this item? Council Member Lewis.
Thank you. We did get several comments from the public that were concerned about payroll increases in this budget. And we also had a couple comments from the public saying they supported the payroll increases. So as a council, where I was in a tough position of sort of balancing or trying to figure out the will of the people, but I just wanted to address one point, and that's about the sustainability of the budget, which is, I think, a very valid question. And it was a big issue last year when we didn't know what kind of revenue the city would be making. But the budget is very sustainable. We have a $400,000 surplus from last year, and this year we're projecting 300,000, I believe, right? So I just want to say that we, to the people that are worried about payroll increases, we hear you, we understand. At the same time, it costs money to spend money. And right now we're facing a savings account that is growing and growing, and we need to spend that money. And to spend the money takes time and personnel. So we have to hire the staff. And it's also important to recognize that we make a yearly decision on budget. It's not a commitment for 10 years. We can cut payroll at any time. And one more thing I want to point out is that the city is becoming a employer in this town. You know, we have, what, 7 full-time and a few part-times, and that's important revenue for people. And right now we have all locals on the payroll, and it's a way that people can stay in this town and make a living, and maybe our kids can work on in the city someday. So I just hope that it's recognized that this budget is sustainable, and that it's also very flexible and it can change at any time. So I feel good about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Council Member Lewis. Do any other council members have? Looks like Council Member Joe Van der Zanden has a comment. Joe?
Yeah, I just was going to ask Mr. Mayor, I thought you mentioned last Monday that you were going to make an amendment to the budget. I didn't know if this was that time or if that was still in effect.
Yes, I do have an amendment prepared to offer, but I wanted to give all the rest of you a chance first. And then I've got a little summary to. Any other council members wish to speak up on the budget? First general. Okay, a couple of things. In my mayor's report, I had a paragraph. Actually, I had it last month and kind of updated it this year. And I would like to read that little portion from my mayor's report right now because it relates to the rationale, as I see it, for our budget. Since January, our city administrator, Tom Williams, and treasurer, Eduardo Loggins, have worked hard to develop the FY operating budget that meets my expectations for improving the quality and availability of city services and will enable us to take better advantage of grants for infrastructure improvements to improve living and working conditions in Gustavus. The budget is the financial expression of our operating plan and is a tool, the tool, that makes it possible. As in every past year, the operating budget is conservatively crafted to assure operating expenses remain well below revenue receipts for the year, with fully funded provisions for future repairs and maintenance of city facilities and safe margins for unexpected events. The budget balances with a substantial surplus even after conservative estimates of income and expense. These annual surpluses are the funding source for capital improvements. As our community has grown 48% from 2010 to 2020, our local businesses have been successful and our sales and bed tax revenues have grown steadily. As an effective and respected local government, we have been successful in capturing state and federal funding for municipalities. The budget applies our steadily improving financial condition to serving the community better every year. With this trend, the city can continue to improve service quality for our existing publicly approved functions with no need to increase tax rates for the foreseeable future. And we can do so while maintaining the distinctive character of our community. Maintaining and developing productive city staff is key to meeting the expectations of Gustavus residents and being a distinctive community in Alaska. The FY23 operating budget funds staff pay adjustments to reflect cost of living increases and to assure fair and competitive compensation for the demands of the jobs and the skills of the incumbent employees. It also provides for an increase in work hours for administrative staff in City Hall to allow the offices to be open 5 days a week and to capture grants and execute public works projects made possible through new federal infrastructure funding. Each year, we sock away savings to repair for repair and replacement accounts. This year, we also are applying a portion of the flood recovery reimbursement funds received from FEMA to a new budget line for emergency and disaster recovery. That budget line will be available for immediate use in a disaster, such as we had in the December 2020 flood, allowing the city to contract response services without drawing from funds appropriated for routine operations and without needing the council to meet specially to appropriate funds for the emergency. Absent a qualifying emergency, those funds will be unspent at the year end and will roll over to the same budget line in the next fiscal year. When we prepared the budget, early on, we were still in the process of hiring our city administrator, and we weren't sure what that position would require for funding yet. And with the hire of our city administrator and a decision to keep Tom Williams and Phoebe Vanslow on for a 2-month transition period in part-time temporary positions, we've been able to adjust the payroll expense categories down somewhat. And we have a couple of other adjustments that we've made as we've worked the budget that have to do with payroll expenses and the emergency and disaster fund. So to that end, I have a motion to make an amendment to the budget that will decrease those two categories. So my motion is that I move to amend the expense side of the budget as follows: payroll expenses, wages, change from $490,179.96 to $479,065.96. Payroll tax, change from $43,426.43 to $42,430.25. Paid time off, change from 15,000 to zero. Sick leave, change from 30,000 to zero. I'll explain those in a minute. Health insurance, change from $20,155.20 to $26,803.20. Health insurance stipend, change from $13,500 to $11,100. The employee 457B contributions change from $30,023 to $29,132.60. Workers' comp insurance change from $8,585.89 to $8,551.51. Total payroll expenses will then change from $624,100.28 to $597,223.62. Under the Emergency and Disaster Fund, change that fund line from $85,000 to $50,000. And to before I ask for a second, I'll explain the paid time off and sick leave. The as they developed the budget at the time, they were not considering that paid time off is simply already budgeted in the regular time, and people just don't take it. So we generally do not have to pay anything extra for paid time off unless somebody leaves the position and has accrued time that we need to pay off. At that time, we generally have enough money in the budgets to handle that little item. So we don't need to budget extra for that. And the same is true for sick leave. So we've dropped $18,000 out of the budget for that because it just will not be needed. And I felt that the emergency and disaster fund, that $50,000 would be enough to tide us over in any emergency long enough to appropriate extra funds if we had some major flood or say that this could be used if a tree fell on City Hall or that kind of thing. So that's the purpose of this amendment. Do I have a second for it?
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to amend the budget as I have read and as it shows on the screen. Do any council members have any comments on this amendment? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands rising. So Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please, on the amendment?
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember VanderZanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, the amendment passes with all council members in favor. Now we're back to the main motion as amended.
Right, that brings us back to the main motion. Do any council members have any further comments or amendments on the main motion? OK, Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
No.
Was that a yes or a no? I didn't catch that.
That was a no.
I heard a no.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes as amended with 5 members in favor and 1 not.
Thank you very much. And we commit to making the best possible use of this resource of public funding to provide services to our community. So thank you. The next item is FY22-15 NCO Department Budgets Road Maintenance. And this is an adjustment additional funding for road maintenance. We introduced this last month, and we explained that it's funding to cover projects that we are doing that will largely be refunded by FEMA, recaptured by FEMA funding. It takes a while though, and we need to, of course, pay our contractors in a timely manner. And so since we've finished those projects and need to pay them, we are transferring $50,000 to cover road maintenance for the rest of this month, and those, including those projects that we finished, special projects and other road grading and things that occur during this month. So anything left over at the end of the month will be returned to the road maintenance unencumbered account. So I believe we have a motion by Councilmember Van der Zanden to approve this item.
Yes, I move we approve FY22-15 NCO departmental budgets for road maintenance introduced 5-9-2022.
Thank you. Do we have a second, please?
I second.
Councilmember Furr has seconded.
Point of order. Sorry. Maybe I missed something. I was doing some minutes, but this is a public hearing for FY22-15.
Right. You're correct.
Finishing up the last item. Thanks. Sorry about that.
Will do any members of the public have any comments on this NCO? I thank the clerk for getting me back in order here at 7:37. I've 7:43 on my phone. We have different phones with different times here. I'm not seeing any hands raised for comment from the public. So I'll close public hearing at 7:43. And we have a motion on the table and it's been seconded. So do any council members have any comment on this agenda item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Okay. Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you. We'll do our best to make the apply that as well as we can to better roads and drainage here in the city. That takes us to item number 10, FY22-16 NCO departmental budgets, introduced 5-25-22. And this is an adjustment of our administrative pay lines for the most part to take into account the fact that we have a city administrator on full time now, and that we have two part-time temporary positions as a financial analyst, Phoebe, and administrative analyst, Tom Williams, to for the next couple of months. But during this month, they're on the payroll as temporary employees. So we have to make some adjustments to our administrative budget to cover that. We also have wages that we owe our fine marine facilities coordinator for the extra time that he had to put in for the, particularly handling the steel float damage and making arrangements to get that float evaluated. And he participated with the engineers who came over and got them out to the float with the assistance also of Councilmember Joe Vander Zanden. Our marine facilities coordinator had additional time in for that and for moving the floats back and forth and so forth. So we needed to put a little more money in the budget line to cover his services. And also there are the 457B employee contributions that we make are covered in that. So those add up to a little adjustment to our pay lines here, totaling $30,205 for a net of that for June. Do any members of the public have any comment? I'll open public hearing at 7:47 for members of the public with any comment on this NCO. Okay, I'm seeing no hands raised, so we'll close public comment at 7:47. Do any council members have any comment on this agenda item? We need to get back in order here. Yeah, I believe we have then a motion from Councilmember Moskowiak to approve this item.
I move the council adopt FY22-16 NCO departmental budgets introduced May 25th, 2022.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
Council Member Furr seconds. So it has been moved and seconded to approve FY22-16 NCO departmental budgets as introduced May 25, 2022. Do any council members have any comments on this item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Moskowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you. With that, we move on to new business, and the next item on that agenda is item 11, It's CY22-11. It's a resolution implementing a new fee schedule for the DRC. And I believe Council Member Van der Zanden has a motion to approve this.
Yes, I move we approve resolution CY22-11, implementing a new fee schedule for Gustavus Disposal and Recycling Center, introduced 5-9 of 20.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution CY22-11, implementing a new fee schedule for the DRC. And I'll need to read this resolution. Okay. A resolution by the City of Gustavus implementing a new fee schedule for the Gustavus Disposal and Recycling Center. Whereas the DRC fee schedule was last updated by CY15-17, whereas the DRC manager has requested the fee schedule increase to address cost increases in providing the DRC's extensive recycling and waste disposal services to the community, changes to the fee schedule represent an approximate 5% fee increase from the previous fee schedule for most items. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council approves the amended Gustavus Disposal and Recycling Center fee schedule. The new fee schedule shall become effective Friday, July 1, 2022. And do we have in the packet, I think we can put the fee schedule up. Is that on? Just for, oh. Is it on the next page there? Okay, there it is. So do any members of the public have any comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, no comment. I'll close that public comment. And do any members of the council have any comment on this item? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up, and I think people understand it from the work session. So, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you. That moves us on to new business item 12, resolution CY22-12, opposing a constitutional convention. Council Member Moskoviak has a motion for us on this one. I'm not hearing.
I move to approve resolution CY22-12 opposing a constitutional convention.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
A second.
It's been seconded by Council Member Furr. So it's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution CY22-12 opposing a constitutional convention. Council Member Moskoviak wrote this, and Jim, would you be willing to read it, please, into the record?
I don't have it in front of me, Mike. So it might be a little bit hard for me to read it. Let's see if I can.
Okay.
It might maybe better if I don't here.
Is that it?
Oh,
okay.
Actually, I can do it, Mike. I can do it here. I'll read it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, okay, I'll read it. City of Gustavus Resolution CY22-12, a resolution by the City of Gustavus opposing a constitutional convention. Whereas the vision statement of the City of Gustavus, Alaska supports the strength and autonomy of local self-government. And whereas Article 10 of the Alaska Constitution provides for maximum local self-government and contains numerous provisions providing for the enhancement of local self-government. And whereas the Alaska Constitution, which took effect with statehood in 1959, has served its citizens well during the past 63 years as one of the strongest constitutions in the nation and is renowned as a model for its thoroughness, protection of individual liberties and functionality. And whereas Article 13, Section 3 requires that the question of whether to convene a constitutional convention be placed on the ballot of the general election every 10 years. And whereas Alaska voters overwhelmingly rejected the call for a constitutional convention in 1972 and in successive elections held in 1982, 1992, 2002, and 2012. And whereas Article 13, Section 1 provides an alternative wherein the legislature may propose amendments to the Constitution. And whereas since statehood, the legislature has proposed 40 amendments, of which 28 have been approved by the voters. And whereas the Constitutional Convention is unnecessary, expensive, and risks proposals to shift public funding for education from the state to local governments, to alter the taxing power of government, and other proposals that could fundamentally harm Alaska's local governments. And whereas rural Alaska in particular could suffer impacts to the Power Cost Equalization Program, the Alaska Marine Highway System, and rural education funding. And whereas at the next general election on November 2nd, 2022, Alaska voters will be asked to vote on whether to convene a constitutional convention. I need the next page. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of Gustavus, Alaska finds that a constitutional convention is unnecessary at this time and may negatively impact our local government.
Thank you. Do any members of the public have any comment on this resolution? Okay, seeing none, do any council members have comment on this resolution? We did review it in our work session. Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you. That brings us to item 13, award of RFQ FY22-07RM. This is the Tong Road Drainage Improvements Project. And I believe Tanya Lewis, Councilmember Lewis, has a motion for us.
I move to award contract for Tong Road Drainage Improvements to Glacier Bay Construction per their request to RFQ FY22-07RM in the amount of $24,898.
Thank you. I'll second this one since it's a road item. I'll explain. This is an a project that is part of our response to the 2020 flood. There were two culverts that were damaged in that flood and that FEMA is paying us to replace. And we are doing some additional ditch work along the north side of Tong Road to improve drainage along that whole road. So we put it out to bid using the full format as required by the federal government so we could qualify for FEMA reimbursement on it. Or actually, we will not get full reimbursement because we're doing extra ditching, but we'll get a good portion of it reimbursed. So do any members of the public have any comments on this item? Seeing none, do any council members have any comments on this item, on the award of this project to Glacier Bay Construction? Okay, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you. We'll get a notice to proceed out to the contractor on this. There's a deadline, expected deadline of, I believe, August 22 for the FEMA funding on this. So we'll have them get started as soon as possible and proceed to make that improvement. So thank you. That takes us, that completes new business and takes us to the council reports and the mayor's monthly report. And I've given that to you in writing, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We've already touched on the budget stuff. You're familiar that we've completed a number of road projects, some of which are FEMA funded and some are not. They are to do the Fairweather road ditches and culverts. And we also cleaned the ditch out and excavated it along Pleasant Avenue. So that whole subdivision, we hope, won't be flooded in the future. And the transformer that serves several subdivisions there won't be shut off in heavy rainstorms anymore. We finished the large culvert riprap up at the gravel pits. That strengthens that culvert in flood events that sometimes happen, as did in December of 2020 and August of 2021. We finished the Wilson Road drainage improvement project, at least the first phase of actually several projects that will be completed along Wilson in time. And this one included extending the large ditch on the east side of Wilson up past the Fish and Game Cabin and installing a culvert for their driveway, a culvert that was donated by Fish and Game for us, and also completed a cross road culvert under Wilson Road at Chase to carry water from the west side of Chase to the larger ditch on the east side from which it can move on to Tidewater. So we hope that those are a pretty high priority to keep water out of the subdivisions if we ever get a flood down Wilson Road again that isn't controlled up at the airport ditch system near the gravel pit. And you have just approved the Tong Road drainage project. So we'll proceed with that. And replaced a culvert that had long disappeared under the corner of same old road between Chuck Bale's house and Tim Sunday's house. I think that was put in so long ago that it may have just been made out of oil drums or something. But at any rate, we've got a new fully capable culvert there, so it'll stop the drain. it'll stop the flooding along that end of same old road. We have some other work intended that we're planning for the rest of same old road in the near term. Our annual road maintenance contract for the next fiscal year, we ran into changed the scope of the project to include both snow plowing and regular annual maintenance in a single contract so that the winter snow plowing operation can, or the contractor can plan better for snow plowing, knowing that they'll be doing that. And it also covers emergency response in the case of a road disaster such as we had in December 2020, so that we have in place a pre-positioned contract that meets the FEMA requirements for funding and will make it a lot easier for us to react quickly to repair flood damage. And we won't have to jump through quite so many hoops to get FEMA to pay for the work if we have another flood like that again. So those are included in the contract, but we have some issues in some language that related in part to that federal funding, and we are going to have to put out the contract, or put out the, rewrite the RFQ slightly, and I hope to have it out soon. In the meantime, we will be negotiating with the contractor, as they've already agreed to extend the existing contract into the next fiscal year slightly while we get a new RFQ out and are able to select a contractor for the next fiscal year. The Good River Bridge repairs, we have an initial report from P&D Engineering on the structure of the bridge and detailing some relatively small carpentry repairs, nothing that is of structural concern for the bridge. The bridge is still strong, but we're trying to keep it, this 1985 constructed bridge, in shape to last for another 40 years. And so that means keeping up with things like rotted posts that hold the guardrail and that sort of thing. We are, the P&D though, is still evaluating the issue that we asked them specially to look at with regard to the embankment of the approach road on the northwest corner of the Good River Bridge, where it is being undercut over time by the incising stream that cuts deeper and deeper due to isostatic rebound. So they're going to be giving us a recommendation on what to do about that. I suspect that the overall repairs, if we do something about that embankment, will be substantial. We'll be looking for a grant to do that. But the time is right with infrastructure grants available, and I believe we'll be able to be successful on something along that to help us out. We have our grant firm, Solstice Alaska Consulting, continuing to look for grant opportunities for our bicycle side path project or bike pedestrian path along Gustavus Road, Mountain View Road, and Dock Road. And also for a wave barrier for the state dock, which would be probably a long-term project, and we may end up seeking state funding on that. We completed a little parking improvement at the old, along Dock Road, where there are trails that go out into the old golf course there and also down to the river. And I thank Glacier Bay Construction for a very nice job on that one. We were pleased to have the governor make a quick visit to Gustavus on May 15th. It was a Sunday, and I was surprised to get a call from him at home and saying he was at the Fox's Den and wanted to chat. So I went down and I had a very nice discussion with him and was joined by Toshua Parker, who was also there talking to him. And between the two of us, we did sort of a tag team thing where we answered the governor's questions and I think gave him a much better understanding of what Gustavus is all about and what we're proud of here and a few of our challenges. He was very interested in in our hydroelectric system and what our rates, our electric rates were and the intertie and so forth. And we talked about things like beach protection and issues around protecting the beach park. So I was very, very pleased to have the governor show his interest in our community. We had a visit on May 30 from Julia Nilica, who is the Alaska State Director for the USDA Rural Development Program in Alaska. Julia is an Alaskan from Nenana, and it was a great pleasure to give her a little tour around town so she could see what Gustavus was all about. She was here for the opening of the community center, and so we gave her a tour and talked about infrastructure issues because they fund some infrastructure work, and they are also the source of the grant that is being used by BiteNet to build out the fiber optic system here in Gustavus. So we met up with Janish Kunat in the field, and he demonstrated what his system is all about and showed us where he's installing the servers that will run it at the Fox's Den and at the community center. On Tuesday, May 7, we had a visit from two representatives of DNR Lands Division and Southeast Office, Megan Hilgartner and John King. Megan had worked on our beach CRMA and is continuing to work with the department manager there to finalize that document with us. And John King is the person who deals with land transfers in the state. And we have dealt with that department, with his department previously when we selected properties for the city's municipal entitlements and when we bought extra land here for the city hall and the park. And we were interested in showing both Megan and John the not only the beach park, but the harbor area. And we talked to John about the possibility of whether we could buy the central 9.6 or so acres of the harbor that we do not own. We own the two tracks on the side edges, but the central part of the harbor is still DNR owned. We manage it under a cooperative resource management agreement that is rather out of date now. So John was very helpful in giving us advice for that and even explained how we could qualify at no cost for subtitle lands in the river out to mid-channel that are beyond the existing tracks. So that's something we'll be following up with, and the council, I'll need your advice on whether we should proceed to try to buy that central part of the harbor so we actually own it and we don't have to manage it cooperatively with the state. I'm also working with Bruce McDonough on an ATV trail or track. I would very much like to see opportunities for ATV enthusiasts to have a place to safely operate their, you know, enjoy the sport of on trails or a track system in Gustavus somewhere. So Bruce is forming an enthusiast group to work to put together ideas, and I've offered to advocate for them to help them see their vision through. On Thursday, June 9, we had a meeting with the National Park Service and Alaska Power and Telephone. Representing the city were Council Member Jim Muscoviac, our city administrator, Kathy Leary, and I. In the meeting were, for the NPS, were Superintendent Philip Hoogie and NPS Maintenance Chief Jake Olson. And for Alaska Power and Telegraph, we had their Chief Executive, Mike Garrett, plus several other members of his management staff. And the purpose was to resolve issues that have been delaying the startup of the power intertie from Gustavus to Bartlett Cove. It was a very cooperative meeting with all parties enthusiastic about getting the intertie into operation. the NPS and AP&T still need a formal commercial agreement on terms regarding the supplementary generation role of the NPS generators at Bartlett Cove, their compatibility, maintenance, and operation of those generators, and unit prices for electricity sales to NPS facilities. And so until they get an agreement, they can't start up the intertie. The city's 2017 resolution encouraging development of the project included the city's preference at that time for the NPS generators to be used preferentially to supply supplementary backup power to the system when Falls Creek stream flow is low or otherwise unable to meet the entire system load. However, technical compatibility issues are yet to be resolved, and some modifications may be needed for the NPS generators to feed power back toward Gustavus. In the meantime, AP&T has installed additional supplementary diesel generation capacity at the Gustavus plant that is sufficient to meet the entire anticipated load for the foreseeable future. AP&T prefers to use the Gustavus facility as their primary source of backup power. The Park Service, of course, needs to retain its generators in case the intertie goes down for their critical operations. In the interest of getting the intertie into operation as soon as possible, the Gustavus team agreed to ask the City Council to confirm its support for startup of the intertie without regard to where supplementary power will be generated. Councilmember Jim Muscoviac and I have prepared a resolution for the council approval at the earliest opportunity. Our resolution is key to the completion of the agreement between NPS and AP&T. Once the parties have our resolution in hand, they can then formalize their agreement and submit it to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska for approval. With that approval, the intertie can begin operation, and we can all begin to capture the benefits of lowering carbon emissions and reducing electric power costs for ratepayers. So I would like to schedule a brief special meeting with at least 5 days' notice to consider and approve that resolution. So in a minute, I'll ask you for feedback on that. The draft resolution will be posted with the meeting announcement. The last item, something we've been kicking around a little bit lately with our marine facilities coordinator, it's the possibility of, I've asked him to investigate the possibility of buying a seine skiff that we could use to move the steel float and, for that matter, the wooden floats, so that we could do that in-house without paying $5,000 every time for a seine skiff to come over from Huna to do that. We could possibly pay for the seine skiff within three or four times of having to move the, when we would otherwise move the steel float with a contracted skiff. So we're looking for a suitable and economical skiff. And if we find something and have something to suggest, I'll bring that to the council for your approval before we make a purchase. It would be a special capital purchase, so we would have to appropriate for that. I'm hopeful we might find something that will get us out of paying that those rather large costs to move that steel float, which you do in about an hour, and we pay him $5,000 for it. So going back to the special meeting, do any of you have any comments about that or objections? Or is that something we can try to schedule in the next, a week or a little more from now? Tanya?
Yeah, I'm probably not available for the next 3 weeks. So you can go ahead and schedule it, but I have two work trips and then a personal trip after the fourth. So sorry.
I understand. Okay. But we may have enough. This would just be a very brief meeting to approve a single resolution. So if we have at least four of us, we can get it done and move this forward. Councilmember Fur?
I would prefer not to have it on Monday because it's a holiday.
Right. Okay. No, not on Monday. Okay. We heard that. Any other comments? Okay, we'll work with the clerk to see if we can schedule, and because it appears to those of us who are in the meeting that that's the critical starting point to sort of give the permission to the NPS to no longer push for a relationship where their generators are able to provide power back to Gustavus and would be used preferentially. So that would relieve a big stumbling block, and we can get the intertie into operation much faster if it's clear to them that they have that approval from the city. Okay. Do any other council members have a report on any project that you're specifically working on that you'd like to share with us at this time? I guess I didn't ask if any of you had any further questions about my report, too. Do you? Okay. Everybody's okay? Okay. Yes, Tanya.
Did we ever make any decisions on the Byte internet for city? For
yes.
The city?
Yes, we're okay. Working on that.
Okay. So that's moving forward.
Yeah, and thanks for raising that. We got a very helpful proposal from ByteNet that answered the questions and filled the gaps that we had left us uncertain about whether it was the right thing to do. Our city administrator is working on that. In fact, maybe I'll ask her to give us a quick report on that.
Sure. Sorry, I left that out of my update. So we were working on a draft of a letter for provisional acceptance. We want to meet with them first. I have the proposal and the letter out to our IT folks first to review to make sure there's nothing I'm missing. And once that is complete, we'll be moving forward with having a meeting and then hopefully a subsequent approval for it. Does that? Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Yeah, I think it's probably the right thing for us to do. And we're just trying to make sure we've got the city properly assured that it's going to always be in the public's interest for us. Okay, we can move on to council questions and comments. So these are for general issues or anything that you've been thinking of that you want to say to the rest of us or to the public. Any council?
This is Jim Miskoviak. I just want to thank. I have a comment, Mike.
Yes, please go ahead, Jim.
Well, I just want to thank you and the city staff for, you know, all the hard work and preparation. You know, these meetings, they go very smoothly, and it's because there's good information and solid information behind, and that doesn't come easy. You guys did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, and a lot of that credit goes to our clerk, I have to say, who gets all this stuff on the agenda, and we give it to her late sometimes, and she has to really work hard to get it all into the packet and get it posted on time. And I really appreciate her help on that. So thank you, Jim. I agree very much. Any other council questions or comments? Tanya Lewis.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to check in on the harbor and the dock. Last year, we made a lot of headway in reducing or providing incentives for people not to dump fish carcasses off the dock because of sea lions, or fish carcasses off the harbor because of bears. And we did have a report that someone had dumped halibut carcasses and it was a problem. And we have started at least the process of getting a fish waste container. So I just wondered, I know we didn't get a report from the Harbor Master this month, but if either the mayor, city administrator could talk about what's going on with that, if it's going to move forward quickly, and then how are things going at the dock too, because I haven't heard anything about the dock and dumping carcasses off of it. Thanks.
Okay, I'll ask Kathy first to comment, and I may add something.
Well, yes. Ben reported this. Some other community members had posted photos of the dumping of the carcasses, in which apparently there was also tire marks, so they had to have backed up to where they threw it in the river. Or at the harbor. And so we've investigated resurrecting the idea of having a place to perhaps put some fish carcasses, with the idea that hopefully people will continue to dispose of them properly, you know, at sea in some other method, and that we won't then get overrun with everybody doing that. But we also have to see the amount that might affect the composting in the waste stream, and maybe looking at even a used grinder or something that might assist with that. So we're having a meeting with Ben and Paul later this week. And we do have some funding in the CIP set aside already for that. So, it's a health and safety matter. So we're trying to move forward with resolving to fix it, but encouraging not too much overuse of it, so that it takes up, keeping in mind people don't want our budget to grow, but if we have to keep doing more things to provide extra services to keep and maintain safety in the community, then those things cost us money. So we're trying to find a balance.
Thank you. And to that end, watch for a letter that will go out tomorrow to the public on the news, and we'll post it from me. It's titled Community Respect and Cooperation is Urged. And one of the items for it, well, it deals in part with driving on the beach, which we've had some instances of improper fish waste or encouraging safe, responsible fish waste disposal, and so forth. I think there are a lot of people that have just arrived for the summer. They're not necessarily aware of our expectations, both for protecting the beach from motorized vehicle traffic where it's closed. And so we explained that. And then we explained the need for proper fish waste disposal and asked people not to dispose of halibut carcasses where bears are going to get to them, or sea lions for that matter. So we'll be sending that out tomorrow to the public and posting it. And I think we'll also send it to the various lodges to make sure that they're aware of what our expectations are there. So I hope that will be effective, but we need to keep an eye on things. So thanks for raising that one too. Okay, any other council comments or questions? Kathy has suggested that we have Tom Williams online, and we haven't got to hear from him as we normally do. Tom, though, was working on quite a few things throughout all of May before he closed out his service as city administrator and Kathy took over. He's continuing to work with Kathy on a short-term basis, temporary basis. And so, Tom, is there anything you would like to comment on about your last month with us? And we do miss you, having you here at City Hall. I think he's still on here.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council. It's been a pleasure serving the council and the community of Gustavus. I think we've turned it over into some good hands with Kathy. A big shout out to staff. Without their participation and willingness to go the extra mile, I don't think we would have been as successful as we have been over the last 3+ years. So it's been a pleasure, and I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Tom. We hope you're enjoying your retirement in Sitka, and hope you don't miss the Gustavus sunshine too much over there. And we're pleased to have you supporting our staff in this transition period. So thanks a lot for your continuing dedication to excellence here in our city operation. Okay, any other questions or comments? One last chance here. Okay, that takes us on to the last opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. So I think everybody knows the drill on that. If you would like to make a comment on a non-agenda item, we'd be delighted to hear from you at this time. So anybody out in the audience there wants to raise their hand? Okay, well, I'm not seeing any, but thank you all for tuning in, and thanks to the council members for participating in yet another monthly meeting. And we'll be adjourned. I have 8:30 for that adjournment. Thank you.